From the world of AV programming and control with James King, I'm Steve Greenblatt, and this is Ask the Programmer. James, how are you today? It's good to be back for another episode, and we have a guest to share our thoughts with today.
Oh, I'm doing good, Steve, and it's always great when we have a guest. I look forward to this one.
Sounds good. You know, we've kind of made our rounds with the AV Super Friends, and today we get to welcome yet another, and I'm sure he's going to be as super as our previous guests. He is Jamie Reinhardt from the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and he's the Education Resources Director. Jamie, welcome.
Hey, I'm good to be here. And I don't hear that title very often. That's relatively new to me. So
well, we
I just made you, I made you say it just so I sounded awesome. That's what happened. Right?
And we are going to say, if we mention UMKC, that's also the university that he works at.
University of Missouri in Kansas City, not Columbia. But yeah, I'm going to change my title someday and be like, you know, head nerd. I kind of envy those folks who work for companies. Steve, you probably have one like that. Chief nerd and coffee engineer.
I can make all the titles up, but to me, they don't really mean that much. I just have to do what it takes, you know?
I had a job once where they did kind of allow some people to update their titles. And the one guy title, he updated to the Lumination Technician. His role was changing light bulbs. He would go around the work changing light bulbs. And his now title was Lumination Technician.
See, and I just think it's fun. So, you know, but, you know, the state institutions are all stuffy. I mean, you probably don't get to have a fun one at UNLV either, do you, James?
I kind of got to work on mine, but mine's a simple one, AB, Assistant Director of AV Services. But when I position was posted, it was Assistant Director of Classroom Technology. And my boss was like, well, you do more than classrooms, so let's change this.
Yeah, you should have been better than Frank.
Oh,
that's what you should have put.
I tell Frank all that. I'm more important than Frank.
Better than Frank.
Yeah.
It's one like, title I heard that was intriguing was Chief Propeller Head. That was a good one.
See, I someday, and I know in LinkedIn you can make up whatever you want, but no, here I am, Education Resources Director at UMKC.
So with that, give us a little bit of your background, what brought you to your current role, and you know, highlight some of your AV journey that touches on programming.
Yeah. Just like everybody else in this business, you know, I came from a failured state of somewhere else, right? I started my career in broadcasting. I was in radio for many years. Eight. Is that many? I don't know. But I was in radio for eight. Yeah. Then I got married. I had a child and I thought I need to move up in radio. And what do? You have to move, right? You typically don't get to just stay put and move up in radio. You have to move to make more money. And the sad state of broadcasting is that in the lower markets, right? I have an elementary school teacher spouse. And they made twice as much as I did. So why would you move? And so I ended up at UMKC. I always loved the engineering part of it more than the being famous part. Being famous was not that important to me. I liked how it all went together. And when I went to college, I was really upset because I had transferred schools in the middle, because this first school I went to, their media department wasn't very strong. And it's not till you get there that you realize, oh, this isn't a good place. I'm not going to professionally develop here. So I transferred, and then I got into the program and I realized they taught me, hey, there's this thing called an engineer. I'm like, well, I want to do that. And I was already 4 years into my 6 year career. Right. And I'm like, I don't think my parents are going to, or my fiance is going to float another couple of years of schooling. But I really wish I'd have done it. So when I came to UMKC, I was just just the typical cart pusher. Remember those days? No programming. The only programming was the clock on the VCR. And then, you know, and then, so we go through all that and just kind of moved up. And as I went, what I found was there's more to this than just plugging in a VCR or plugging in a TV, CRT TVs, the good old days. And that's when I really kind of started realizing with programming, and it started with DSPs. Right? We had a couple of, it was AMX at the time. And we had a couple of, we started getting more DSPs, and the programmers we had weren't very strong with audio. And considering where I came from, I thought this was in my wheelhouse. And DSPs were, you know, it was the bi-amp product. So it's a lot of drawing lines and connecting the dots, which was easy. And it's programming, but it's not. But it is, but it's not. But it is, but it's not. I know you're laughing at me, but we know as the evolution of programming goes, it was closer today than it was then. I tried to pick up AMX. I started going through some of those courses. And then we decided to get rid of that platform altogether. So about the time I started really understanding the syntax of it, we stopped using it and moved into more of the Crestron realm. And I really didn't get into that. I started to, and I didn't, I don't know. I wanted something different, but I kept doing the DSPs. Now, eventually, now we get into the configuration part, the configurators, which I said, it's not programming, but is it? But is it not? Does it just make our life easier? And so it was, you know, the Extron programming and some of the such. And I eventually started picking up simple Python scripts. And what I discovered through all of that is, quite honestly, I'm not very good at syntax. I'm awful at it. I am so scattered that I, and this was before modern compilers where they like to hint where you made a mistake. Like, hey, look here, dummy. This was, okay, that was 2,000 lines and I don't know where the mistake is. It just says, nope. And it frustrated me. So really the configuration stuff really came in handy, or the copy and paste blocks from somebody, you know, from somewhere else. So even though I dabble in in-depth, what I'd call real programming, I never really was able to, or I never really picked that up until recently. Like I have the Extron's global scripter, I have basic Python knowledge, and I goof around in Lua with QSC and make it all work. But there are days where I looked at some of you guys, I'm like, holy cow, I need to do that. Because if I did that, I'd probably get all the ladies. No? Yeah, sure. James is like, James like, yeah.
Banging on the door.
I'm quite, you know, not quite sure that's why we do it.
No.
What? It must be to get rich then.
It's still waiting. No? Yeah,
still waiting for that one.
So, but that's how I kind of, and you know, I still dabble with it a lot. Now, my titles and things have changed, and I don't program as much as I used to. I configure a lot more now, simple stuff, move on. But my roles have changed. I still have an ultimate goal. I have two, really. One of them is just for giggles. I really want to do like the arcade cabinet thing, right? And more importantly, someday I'm making the whack-a-mole control system. I'm sure you've heard of this, right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So none of you have it, but UMKC will be at the forefront of the whack-a-mole control system, and you guys will all want it shortly after that.
Well, we are a industry of copycat, so I can easily see that happening.
Yeah. You know how cathartic it would be as an end user. I just want the projector to work. And then, because sometimes you press the button, you're like, did it do anything? Like I came onto the show and I was like, man, I apologize because our network went a little stupid today. And so sometimes that happens, it hiccups and you might have to press twice. But how cathartic would that be to pick up that little mallet and just whack, just let this button have it. Think about it. Or reverse, you all have that one client. So now the true whack-a-mole comes up. It only works if you whack it when the light's on. And
I thought that was going
watch
to be
the.
how you press the button. So you have
Yeah.
to.
So not only could it be a game, it could also get you fired. See? Here we go. But no, that's I took I don't think it's the abnormal way. I think we all kind of start dabbling in there. And then you pick up programming as you go. Now, now I've started to, just as I started to really start programming, I transition jobs. And so you start moving into management, you do less of the other stuff. So, and that's where I'm at right now.
That's definitely a path there. And yes, I was laughing at you when you were saying DSP programming, because I will, this is the hill I will battle, is DSP is not programming.
No.
It's no, it's definitely not programming. But
It is though, but it's not.
no,
It
not
is, but it's
but
not.
yeah,
It uses a
so
computer, which is what people associate
and
programming with. Sure.
you have to connect some blocks. And I think outside of not just the audio DSP part, I mean, most of these come with the GPIO pins or
Yeah.
the analog section. And so I'm branching out of the here's your input, here's your EQ, here's your compressor, here's your mixer, here's your, get outside of that. Now, how do we make, if it hits a certain level, do we want these lights to turn on or we want this other thing to happen? How do you use this DSP to cause the other things? I'm a huge fan of using GPIOs for all kinds of crap. I love arcade buttons. I love them. I think they are the most logical tool for most end users in the AV industry, right? An arcade button is giant. It has a tactile feeling that you've done something. And if you get the ones with the lights on them, it gives you feedback. It's all you really need. And what I have found, especially like mute buttons, camera switching, that if you place these in an appropriate place on a desk or a podium, that they're more likely to reach up and just tap an arcade button, because we're all familiar with it, than hunt the touch panel for this non-tactile event that, depending on who programmed it, may or may not give you any feedback or appropriate feedback. It might turn white or yellow or purple or whatever color you've programmed it to say that you've done something, but did it? Or did you just program it? It says if something touches you, turn a color. Or is it, we all know these people. And maybe there was a corner cut, and it's not actually reaching out to that device and saying, did you do what I asked you to do? Yes, great. Change the color. Right? It's this ubiquitous touch pan. And I think with phones and things, we've gotten just kind of desensitized with hunting and searching and pecking. And sometimes it's intimidating to use a touch screen. And even sometimes the button panels. But it's eight buttons, right? I've seen more people pause before they'll touch it. But those arcade buttons, man, whack. Because that's what you're used to doing. I mean, there's nobody listening to this, and probably nobody in your life that hasn't hit an arcade button. Whether it was pinball, the original Pac-Man, it doesn't matter. They've all done this, and it's not scary, and it gives you feedback. I've also like big knobs for volume. So when I tease about DSP programming, no, it's not. But could it be, I mean, I'm still using a processor to trigger logic things to go high and low, to read a thing that's outside this thing. I just didn't syntax it. That's where I'm kind of going with that. Not necessarily did I draw the line, the spaghetti line across the screen and make a microphone come out of speaker. Did I win any points there, James, or am I still out on left field?
Well, I'll give you a half a point there.
All right, I'll take it.
But, you know, points mean nothing in this game show.
Well, you know, it's hard to convince a diva they're not one.
Yeah.
You know I'm teasing. You know I'm teasing.
Yes, I know. But
I just play
it. That's what we do. Yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah.
But
no, I'd love to take those things and make them do things that they're not supposed to do. I love it. I love to make things. Yeah. Like, and I'll look at, and I get talk to my staff all the time. I'm like, take this thing and that thing and make them work. Well, they're not, there's no driver for that. I don't care. And why would you ever use a mute button to trigger the camera preset? Oh, can you do it? Show me. That's where it really gets fun for me. And boy, sometimes those old analog connections and reading those, and they work. Everybody knows how to turn up the volume, right? Everybody knows. And even to this day, all of your cars, well, not mine, because I'm still poor. I'm not so good at this, right? But when our jam comes on the radio, even if you have a touch screen, it usually has a knob. I think for a long time, even Tesla still had a knob, right? So you could use the toggle buttons on your steering wheel, but if that's your song, you reach over and you put it at 11. I've seen people at parties walk across the room to the stereo where they have the remote control just so that they can grab that one knob and just turn it up. And that's where I think some of this comes into, because we've lost some of that thinking of how can I interact this physical world with this digital world, and is the touchscreen the right thing? So that's where it really kind of got me into the quote programming array, because there's not a module for an arcade button. So how do I get the lights to work, or an LED strip? You can't see it. I have an old, it's like a 1980s, early 90s LED sign. You know, the scrolling signs that used to be in like bar windows or cigarette shops, right? This is like, you know, Busch Light, $6 a pound or something. I know that doesn't compute, but I have one, right? And it only came in two colors, right? Yellow and red. There's only two colors on it. And it has an API. And so I was like, well, what can we do? My coworker and I, we had it set up where, depending on what was happening, we had caller ID on it. So you'd call into the DSP, which would trigger a thing, which would trigger a thing, which would put your caller ID across the LED panel. We put it into a conference room at one time so that they could see without audibly hearing who was on their conference call. It would pop up on their screen. But we had set that up and along with the DSP and some and the motion sensors and things, and we had like this whole elaborate intruder alarm. And we thought it was funny as hell for us until we left it on and the cleaning person came in. But the LED sign was like, intruder, intruder, please leave. And then the DSP was sending tones. Bee, bee, dee, 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 dee. Oh, shoot. Oh, there was a camera that was moving. It didn't go anywhere, right? It was just the camera, but it was like searching. She did not think we were funny. But these are the kind of things that triggered me into programming, because none of that stuff is what you're supposed to do. But in order to make it work, you have to learn how to do these things. And that's where I learned how hex codes work. And that's how I learned how to parse the data strings. And that's so all of these things are for a guy that's not really good at it, it's what made me learn how to do it.
I think that's probably a good pausing place for us on this episode, but I think that we have a lot to work with, and we're going to have Jamie back on the next episode as well to continue this conversation. That, I mean, from my takeaway from this is that this is a pretty good way of saying how creative programming is, and how really the programming in a system is really what gives it personality and allows you to solve problems, which I think much of us know that as programmers.
Yeah, and I think it gives some depth into the, we know how to have fun too. We're not the stereotype, sit in a dark basement and code at 1 in the morning, you know, hacker movie look. It's like, look, we have fun and we want to interface, and we can actually have ideas that make things better for you, right? For whomever that is, a client, you know, yourself. So I do, I agree. I think this is just a gateway into have a little fun with it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And we'll talk some more in the next episode, but I have some thoughts about the whole idea of the syntax and the configuration, but I think we will get into that a bit. Jamie Reinhardt from UMKC, how can people get in touch with you, learn more about what you're up to, continue the conversation, and also learn about the AV Super Friends podcast?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is just avsuperfriends.com. Okay. I do a lot of things through AVSF. They're on all the socials. I'm not really a socials person. I'm on, you know, I have a LinkedIn profile, but you know, for resume keeping, I guess. But the easiest way to, and it's Jamie at avsf.com, right? avsuperfriends.com. And I think that's the easiest way to have a dialogue, right? Just, you know, in our industry, sometimes we move around a little bit. So right now that's the easiest way to get hold of us and really to have more candid conversations.
And you'll definitely get them on that podcast. So be sure to check that out.
There's a lot of candidness.
Oh yeah.
James, how could people get in touch with you, learn what you're up to, and also continue this conversation?
Again, you can find me on X as AV_James King on LinkedIn. Not too active on there, but I'm out there. Again, Google me, you'll find me. But I do have to ask, because I asked Mark this, Jamie, out of AV Super Friends, who's a better programmer?
Larry.
All right.
Without a doubt. He actually did it for real for a while. The rest of us dabble. He actually was paid to do it.
Excellent. Well, for me, you can reach me at Steve Greenblatt on social media. You can reach my company, Control Concepts, at controlconcepts.net. But what's important to James and me is that you follow this podcast. We're on the Twitter or X platform as AV Programmer Pod. You can catch us on YouTube. You can download us and follow on your favorite podcast player. And we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get your feedback on all of our episodes. Please share your favorite one and let us know what you want to hear more about. And also reach out if you'd like to be part of the show. And until next time, this has been Ask the Programmer.